got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
You either go to church
Welcome
or
back.
You're gonna go to hell.
All right, so, you know, another way to look at what's happened, been happening in America is the feudalist system, which, again, is an effort that's been at work for a long time. So, John Adams, 1765, a dissertation on the canon and feudal law, which, I don't know, echoes a lot of things. Echoes the discussion that Glenn and I had, you know, Fred's remarks. I think it was, what was it, last Friday? Hyslop's Two Babylons. You know, again, Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law, the Fabian cast. And their efforts were encouraged to think in America that, you know, there is this, you know, there's the ruling caste of experts. And that we are not, you know, the general public is not part of that. But, you know, there were different sentiments expressed along the way by folks like Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, and others. But it comes with a responsibility. And if we abrogate and abdicate, then I guess we're sort of left with whatever fills the power vacuum, if you will. So again, you know, the initial pushback is met with overwhelming force, but then what? And so what we see is people, you know, we see the examples of, you know, the Ed and Elaine Browns, and then the people retreat further in cowardice and rinse and repeat. So, but we are being bamboozled. You know, you start listening to folks like Jim in Illinois, and you start to understand that we shouldn't be acquiescing the way that we are, and we have a duty, responsibility, obligation, not only to ourselves, but to one another and posterity, not to listen to the flim-flam man who comes with all of these tricks and things. You know, like I have said in the past, the movie Stripes, for example, and John Candy's character fleecing his fellow soldier. Because it's funny. Isn't this fun? Gambling is fun. Look at that. Always changing the rules so that he can fleece his fellow soldier. It's wicked. It's not funny. So the Tontine insurance scheme, I call it the Tontine Ponzi scheme, is sort of a combination of the two. The flim-flam man shows up, Lorenzo Tonti, and this has been institutionalized now. It was outlawed for a time in America. Now it's been institutionalized in organizations like New York Life, Northwestern Mutual. They're some of the oldest and most, you know, venerated institutions in America. This was a scam that was outlawed. No particular offense to anyone. I worked at Northwestern Mutual for a while. It's a scheme and a scam. Was from the beginning. It was outlawed. So, continuing from Verl K. Spears, Pied Pipers of Babylon, to move on after this. this section about the tontine, which I think is, again, it's sort of an emblematic example of the flim-flam man at work in America. And Americans, you know, I mean, if it hangs around for a while and you tell, who was it? Was it Goebbels, I think, that allegedly said, if you tell a lie 10 times, it's still a lie, but if you tell it 10,000 times, it becomes the truth. And over the course of 100 years, it becomes institutionalized. Of course it's true. If it wasn't true, Chris, somebody would say something. Someone would have said something a long time ago. Time and repetition does not change the truth or the lie. They're still either the truth or the lie. Ne'er the twain shall meet. So again, just to, you know, reiterate, the chief characteristic and trademark of the tontine is the pool of assets that is divided among the survivors at the options of those subscribers who dropped out or did not survive until the time for distribution had arrived. The Equitable Life Insurance Company in 1868 introduced the deferred dividend system, which was really an application of the tontine principle. The most serious flaw in the deferred dividend system was the inability of the insured to compel an accounting. The general rule is the policyholder is not entitled to compel the company to account for dividends, nor can the policyholder compel the distribution of the surplus fund in other manner or at any time or in any other amounts than that provided for in the contract. As stated in the report of the Armstrong Committee, quote, the plan of deferring dividends for long periods has undoubtedly facilitated large accumulations, providing apparently abundant means for doubtful uses on the one hand, while concealing on the other the burden imposed upon the policy holders. According to George L. Armain, instructor in insurance at the University of Pennsylvania, deferred dividends were prohibited by law in the legislation, Pennsylvania, of 1906 and subsequent years. This came to an end, thus came to an end a system which in 1898 had superseded to a very large extent that of annual dividends and which in 1915 seemed antiquated. And so Verl K. Speer proposes a question. Question, what made it antiquated, quote-unquote, in 1915? According to Mr. Armain, it was outlawed in 1906 but did not seem antiquated until 1915, exclamation mark. John K. Tarbox, the Commissioner of Insurance for the state of Massachusetts, had this to say about tontine in his annual report. The false idea of life insurance as investment, which reminds me of Glass-Steagall and the repeal of it, which we saw, you know, as a pretext to the subprime contagion. What happened? Well, what we knew would happen, which is why Glass-Steagall was put in place. I digress. The false idea of life insurance as investment begat the equally false conception of life insurance as a bet. Life insurance as a bet. Let that stick in your mind. That's been institutionalized now. Life insurance is begat the equally false conception of life insurance as a bet. And the latter gave birth to the modern tontine, which is a wager. That's what New York Life and Northwestern Mutual ultimately are. The bet that gave birth to the modern tontine, which is a wager. In the tontine, the forfeitures go to enrich the individual survivors of the special class of policyholders who enter the compact. It's that whole Highlander concept. There can be only one. Constituting a company liability instead of a company asset for the protection of its policy obligations, the stake played for rather than the game itself, constitutes the chief offense, the stake played for. Constitutes the chief offense. Our law condemns, forbids, and makes void the contract of forfeiture. Think about that. If you've ever held like a whole life policy or something. As was truly testified before the Committee of the New York Assembly in 1877, the tontine policy is taken for purposes of investment by a set of men who would not insure their lives at all, the inducement to the investment is the expected profits from forfeitures. The expected profits from forfeitures. Aside from the moral quality of the matter, concerning which I waive controversy, the considerations which the public aspect seems to me principally to invite are these. First, whether it is prudent to make of our insurance companies great banking establishments, and second, whether an institution organized as the life insurance system was for a benevolent and unselfish use shall be combined with enterprises of selfish speculation, as the Tontine undeniably is. And Tarbox concluded, I am strongly persuaded of the impolicy and positive danger of magnifying the banking feature of life insurance institutions to accommodate modern plans of Tontine speculation and endowment investment. So Speer adds, John Tarbox was clearly saying that at that time, there were modern plans to make insurance companies, specifically Tontine insurance companies, great banking institutions. And now it's no secret Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company became the NMFN, right? The Northwestern Mutual Financial Network. It's been 100 years later, it's been normalized. I mean, it's astonishing. If you know the history and you go back to this Ponzi scheme was outlawed, the insurance Ponzi scheme was the Tontine. It was outlawed because of the speculative gamble and wager nature of it. It invites, you know, the inducement to speculation and bad things that have been written about countless times throughout history. Now it's been institutionalized, and oh, look, it's a shining, sterling example in our community. Been around for over 100 years. Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company became Northwestern Mutual Financial Network, NMFN. If that's not the institutionalization of the crime, De Balzac's axiom at work, behind every great fortune there is a crime, I don't know what is. I mean, it's right there in plain sight. And you can just go back and read the history. This thing that has now been institutionalized was outlawed 100 years ago. That's America for you today. Creating and exploiting disparities, and all of us peons go along with it because, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it, Chris? Well, I don't know, maybe not engage in these repugnant sorts of activities. To what end? To be conscripted to evil. So, you know, as far as the, you know, this is what happens when we start down that Romans 1 road, thinking that somehow, you know, we can act apart from God, or, you know, that man can be he's a self-made man. Nah, there is no such thing in truth. So we embark down this Romans 1 path, you know, through pleasure and vice and convenience, the Freudian, Bernaysian gateway, and end up on the Nietzschean will to power course, because that's the natural progression of things where we are now, and that ends badly. Millions and millions die, history tells us, when we start to embark on that course. And so just a little bit of Bonhoeffer, and then to this other stuff. Bonhoeffer, Eric Metaxas Bonhoeffer, pastor, martyr, prophet, spy. Let's see. It is Barth's Tower of Babel, and it is the fig leaf that tries to fool God but fails. Let's see. For Bonhoeffer, there is no reality apart from God, and no goodness apart from him. all pretense. This is page 469, chapter, cell 92 at Tegel Prison. For Bonhoeffer, there is no reality apart from God and no goodness apart from him. All pretense to that effect is Barth's pejorative notion of religion, a scheme to subvert God altogether and make a fallen humanistic path to heaven alone. You know, the Tower of Babel, right? It's Barth's Tower of Babel. And it is the fig leaf that tries to fool God but fails. All things appear as in a distorted mirror, Bonhoeffer wrote, if they are not seen and recognized in God. So God is not merely a religious concept or religious reality. God is the one who invented reality, and reality can only be seen truly as it exists in God. Nothing that exists is outside his realm. So there are no ethics apart from doing God's will. And God, indeed, Jesus Christ, is the non-negotiable given in the equation of human ethics. And then this excerpt. In Jesus Christ, the reality of God has entered into the reality of this world, the place where the questions about the reality of God and about the reality of the world are answered at the same time, is characterized solely by the name Jesus Christ. God and the world are enclosed in this name. We cannot speak rightly of either God or the world without speaking of Jesus Christ. All concepts of reality that ignore Jesus Christ are abstractions. And a parenthetical aside, this is Bonhoeffer, and the time that he lived is echoing now. History is echoing. And it's interesting that the more that you bring these kinds of things to light, the more antagonistic it becomes as we continue to hurdle on this continuum. All concepts of reality. Okay, so God and the world are enclosed in this name, Jesus Christ. We cannot speak rightly of either God or the world without speaking of Jesus Christ. All concepts of reality that ignore Jesus Christ are abstractions. And, you know, then you think of the manipulation of mankind and the fractured man on the inset page, or all of the other books of the same concept. As long as Christ and the world are conceived as two realms bumping against and repelling each other, we are left with only the following options. Bifurcation fallacy, by the way. Giving up on reality as a whole, either we place ourselves in one of the two realms. You know, it's the religious or the Christian or the secular, right? Wanting Christ without the world or the world without Christ. And in both cases, we deceive ourselves. There are not two realities, but only one reality. And that is God's reality revealed in Christ in the reality of the world. Partaking in Christ, we stand at the same time in the reality of God and in the reality of the world. The reality of Christ embraces the reality of the world in itself. The world has no reality of its own, independent of God's revelation in Christ. The theme of two realms, which has dominated the history of the church again and again, is foreign to the New Testament. And so Metaxas adds, Bonhoeffer believed that historically speaking, it was time for everyone to see these things. The evilness of the Nazis could not be defeated via old-fashioned ethics, rules, principles, and I would add, not in a superior application of the Nietzschean will to power either. So Metaxas adds, God alone could combat it. Under normal circumstances, he said, people are concerned with ideas of right and wrong. They try to do right and as they see it, and they try to avoid doing what is wrong. One final little excerpt, and then we'll move on. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
From Metaxas, Bonhoeffer, and we'll go to the phones. Page 470 in the book. By the way, the book is Bonhoeffer's magnum opus, Ethics. In the book, Ethics, Bonhoeffer examined and dismissed a number of approaches to dealing with evil. Reasonable people, quote unquote, he said, think that, quote, with a little reason, they can pull back together a structure that has come apart at the joints. Then there are the ethical fanatics, quote unquote, who, quote, believe that they can face the power of evil with the purity of their will and their principles, end quote. Men of conscience become overwhelmed because the, quote, countless respectable and seductive disguises and masks in which evil approaches them make their conscience anxious and unsure until they finally content themselves with an assuaged conscience instead of a good conscience. They must deceive their own conscience in order not to despair. Finally, There are some who retreat to a private virtuousness, he added. And the final excerpt from Ethics. Such people neither steal, and tell me, does this not sound like America today? Such people neither steal nor murder nor commit adultery, but do good according to their abilities. But they must close their eyes and ears to the injustice around them. Only at the cost of self-deception can they keep their private blamelessness clean from the stains of responsible action in the world. In all that they do, what they fail to do will not let them rest. They will either be destroyed by this unrest, or they will become the most hypocritical of all Pharisees. So, on that note, to the phones, Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Morning, Glenn.
Sounds like you were just describing the American Christian middle class.
The American every class, the American everyman today, I would say. Absolutely.
Well, considering Christians are supposed to have heightened conscience.
Right.
You know,
the chain of command in Hosea 4 sort of fashion, perhaps. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, we're supposed to be loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors, ourselves, and, you know. But even then, you know, it can be easy to become overwhelmed. Actually, that just brought a mental picture to mind. Have you ever seen on TV, like, the charity programs? I think the charities, there's this guy who wears kind of safari garb, has like the vest. He looks like he should be driving a Range Rover across the desert, across the field in Kenya or something. They're feeding all these poor people in Haiti, and these people live swept hillside and have no skills and no means of sustenance, and their children are all starving and everything. And then Haiti turns around and gets hit by, you know, earthquakes and storms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was hard enough to begin with, you know? Bonhoeffer, you know, interesting stuff, but not I don't know. The last thing you read came across as kind of like an indictment. But how do you fix it? You know, that's one thing. About the insurance stuff you're talking about, you're probably too young to remember the A.L. Williams insurance marketing thrust in the 80s.
Do you know
what I'm talking about, though?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh yeah, where the idea that a dividend, you know, a dividend on insurance is just a rebate on an overcharged premium, and that you should buy term and invest the rest.
Right.
It's interesting, and overall, you have. I'm wondering how the distinction between stock companies and mutuals figures in there. You know, because it's a security thing. You buy, you know, own a piece of the rock, Prudential.
Yeah.
And
they market it as such. I mean, their salesmen are trained to market it as such. You know, I mean, hey, you're going to outpace the market, and this is, you know, 7% per annum. I mean, how can you beat that?
I had a 3-credit insurance course when I was first in college. It's actually taught by a guy named A.L. Williams. It's no relation to the A.L. Williams of
that
the,
you know of.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You know, and I thought the history, you know, he talks about the history of insurance and like how farmers used to divvy up, you know, like you get 8 farmers together and everybody takes some of the other guy's stuff, and then that way if the river pirates got one of the boats, you know, if you get away with your life, then you know nobody loses everything, you know, everybody just loses something,
right? But that's the point of clarification I mentioned in Spears Pied Pipers of Babylon. Stick around, folks, we'll be right back.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Just a quick point of clarification on the example that you mentioned, Glenn, for posterity's sake. Again, from Burl K. Spears' Pied Piper's of Babylon regarding the Tontine Insurance Ponzi scheme, what made it different, you know, from John K. Tarbox, the Commissioner of Insurance for the state of Massachusetts, what he said was the false idea of life insurance as investment begat the equally false conception of life insurance as a bet, and the latter gave birth to the modern tontine, which is a wager. And so he went on to say the stake played for, rather than the game itself, constitutes the chief offense. And so just to, I don't know, point of clarification. So the example that you mentioned, it would be like those, you know, one farmer in the group basically says, hey, everybody, we can store the, you know, bulk of stuff. Like maybe he will pay for storage facilities at everyone's farm, But if a farmer becomes insolvent and loses his farm or whatever, then all of the stuff that's stored there goes back to him. And so to the guy who said, you know, I'll pay for all of these storehouses and we'll store everything in distributed fashion, but at no expense to the other farmers because I'm paying for it. But if he becomes insolvent, then he surrenders all of the stuff to me. And so that's kind of that's a crude analogy, but that's, that's the chief offense.
Yeah, that's a kind of a greatly changed example. Like the River Pirates is meant to be this simplest of the simple, you know, eight guys, mm-hmm. each has a boat full of his own stuff. And then, you know, so they all swap around. Everybody takes one eighth of the other guy's stuff. Of each of the other guys' stuff, and then you have this balance. And then, you know, if River Pirates get one of the boats, then they all still have 7/8 of their stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but then when you get into a more sophisticated example involving like warehousing and whose stuff is where and what happens, first of all, the idea of becoming insolvent is you know, hopefully not likely, but anyway. It's interesting because you have mutuals and then you had fraternals, which, you know, started as death benefit societies to help bury people, you know,
right.
and help handle the expenses. And the Knights of Columbus, you know, originally supposedly started out as a death benefit society. Mm-hmm. And then there was insurance involved and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My father had worked for a fraternal called AAL. You probably heard of that, right?
It's
Aid Association for Lutherans, and then Lutheran Brotherhood, the two big fraternals of, you know, Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would market strictly to Lutherans. But that changed over time. And now, they put in an investment side of things. And, like, my dad had to get his SEC license for selling securities and stuff. So they had the insurance side, which is the opposite of betting, theoretically. You're not taking a risk. You're using the law of large numbers and stuff to offset risk. You know, it's I've heard people argue, it's like, insurance is a gamble. It's like, no, it's designed to mitigate risk, not take a risk, supposedly. But
point of clarification is instructive. That's why I mentioned that, because
mm-hmm.
the point of mitigating risk is valid, but again, the forfeiture concept and this idea that, you know, in the Tontine, forfeitures go to enrich the individual survivors of the special class of policyholders who enter the compact, constituting a company liability instead of a company asset.
Well, and that's obvious. It doesn't have to be that way. That's obviously predatory and unethical,
but
right? So
the
they're the rub.
Nature of how it works these days. That's what's been institutionalized,
right.
And it was outlawed 100 years ago.
I know, so life insurance had the potential to, insurance in general, had the potential to be a highly altruistic enterprise without stuff like that. You get a big pool of money gathered up together, and the vultures go, you know, start circling above. It's like, yeah, and next thing you know, they've inserted themselves into the system and corrupted it. So, yeah, it's no sort of surprise. But, it's travesty, but it's not a surprise. But what's interesting in the history of like the fraternals, you know, either, you know, church affiliated, directly affiliated, but groups designed to service, you know, these church groups. Well, Lutheran Brotherhood and AAL eventually merged, and now it's changed, and it's like now instead of it's being a fraternal benefit society, it's thriving, you know, it's the financial. You know, it's a business. It's a financial management thing. And they're still, you know, trying to maintain the bit of the culture, you know, the social culture that was there. And, I don't have any particular ethical problem with them, but it's just interesting how once the government allowed them to get into the investment side of things, and they started selling various certain securities. Then, you know, and then they had their own like bank, you know, bank, like a you know, checking account and stuff, like a I'm blanking on the term. Credit union, you know, sort of a credit unionish bank type thing. But anyway, so yeah, all this talk about back and forth between that. Money, it's now interesting how money and ethics and unethical issues all seem to go together. Question about Bonhoeffer. Was he Lutheran? Are you there, Chris?
I would say, I mean, publicly?
I don't know. It's like, in terms of his sociocultural identification, you know, he might be a cultural Christian, but no, I was, well, because the name being, and stuff like that. I was under the impression he was, you know, he was looked to as sort of a great, you know, one of the great models of, or one of the, you know, inspiring people of, you know, like 20th century Christian Protestantism and stuff like that, and ethics. I thought, you know, I thought that was part of his, you know, persona.
Well, he is considered, you know, historically a Lutheran. Yeah. So, but I mean, I think we could get into defining terms on that, which is why I asked, you know, publicly. Anyway, that's perhaps a conversation for another day. We have other calls.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No worries.
I didn't mean it. All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, by all means, let me know if I'm waxing too prolific.
All right.
Thanks, Glenn. Catch you later.
Bye-bye. Much appreciated, as always. Bonhoeffer is a subject of subjects that we could explore at great length, I'm sure, and perhaps we should do that considering the times. Back to the phones, Pat in Texas. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, I wanted to ask you something.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You know how Obama wanted single-payer medical insurance? Obamacare was nothing. He never intended it to be anything. He intended it to be single-payer, everybody under Medicare, right?
Okay.
You forgot? Well, it looks like that's what they're headed to doing. I mean, if you want to talk about life insurance, does life insurance pay if you took the jab?
I don't know. I haven't looked into that, but there are mixed reports on that.
Well, we're just throwing out things for other people to look into because I've heard that it won't pay.
I don't know.
The whole thing is just a joke. I mean, it's a joke because they intend to break the whole insurance system. I mean, not only are they saying that America is going to pay for all the poor countries to have the shots, we are going to pay. We are going to pay. Uh-huh. Yeah. To go figure that out. And everybody knows the budget's a joke. I mean, you know, everything means something else that they're spending the money on. But the point is that they're getting rid. I mean, what kind of insurance, medical insurance? They say there's only about three left. They're buying each other outright and left. Because what's happening, you know, if you look at what happened in Canada, okay, there's where Hillary was supposed to set up a medical, you know, and she didn't do it. And nobody wanted it because they could see that everybody in Canada was having to come down here if they really had a problem. Well, what I've noticed is talking to people is that Canada, I mean, let me put it this way, it may have its advantages because, well, just think about it. But when you try something and it doesn't work, like some yahoo will come along and try to convince you of something other than the crazy thing we got going on now, but I mean a procedure, okay, that this procedure will work. Well, if it doesn't work there, you know what? They do it here. On our insurance companies, they do it on people here. Because I said, oh, don't have that done. It didn't work in Canada. Well, the doctor don't care. He sits in it for the money. Ching, ching. I think it's $500 a minute they make. Well, you know, we got insurance. We got all this. A little, you know. You know? So that's what's happening in there as far as being able to have medical insurance. Because, I don't know, Obama, remember when he said downfall of, well, something like that, the downfall of the republic never looked so good? The people kept on sipping and drinking and laughing. Mm-hmm. Well, does it look like the downfall of the republic has happened? And what, yes. and not one person who has earned his retirement, Social Security, or anything, dad can be sure that he's going to even live to use any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Other than the fact that all the old people remember history, and you know it young, but most of us live through stuff. We know it didn't happen the way you're saying, you know. The new history books, the new, well, anyway, I'm just trying to say that keep in mind that that's all they want. They want Medicare for everybody. But they have to do it, kill millions. I guess they'll do that too, because
well, that's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of it, you know, to mandate. I remember, you know, whatever it is, whether it's auto insurance or health insurance, people say, well, what is bad about mandating automotive insurance? There are a number of things. I've talked about it in the past, not the least of which is the mindset that it creates, the sort of lazy, relaxed mindset. I won't get into that other than to say, if you just think about the difference between if you drive, say, a $50,000 automobile that you have not paid for in full and it's insured with, say, a $500 deductible, what kind of behavior does that elicit versus someone who drives something that's fully paid for and if they have to be insured, they're self-insured, for example. Or it's not insured and they think, gosh, you know, if it gets damaged, I'm on the hook for the full repair or replacement costs of this thing, not to mention whatever other damages might be involved. That mindset is different. That mindset is different than those are two completely different mindsets. And so you have that, not, you know, that's not the least of the issues. But when you mandate products, that's, I would say it's patently un-American or even anti-American. And the purpose of having everyone on healthcare is to be able to funnel one of the primary purposes is to be able to funnel these things out, this experimental stuff, and basically it's all in eugenic sort of fashion. So ultimately it's kind of the soft kill in simple terms, you know, and to be able to experiment and do things like what is being done at Walter Reed and so forth en masse.
Well, as far as auto insurance, only thing that's absolutely mandated is liability, isn't it? Are you there?
You're cutting out.
Did it drop off? Oh, dear. Well, on auto insurance, they only require liability, right? I mean, you know, if you hurt somebody else, you deserve to have to pay for that. Oh, well, I didn't want to get into that. I was really trying to get into what's happened to the medical insurance. And you hear one's bought out, the other one, and that we're down to three insurance companies. It looked to me like Obama. Obamacare was medical insurance bailout because the economy was so bad. You know, a lot of companies use Blue Cross Blue Shield, right? Well, if you're not working anymore, you don't have Blue Cross Blue Shield. Oh, they're going to go under. Okay, so all of a sudden they popped right back up, and then they started charging so much the average person couldn't afford it. So the point is I don't know. Maybe that's what this country needs, because we already know we can't trust the hospital, we can't trust the doctors and all that sort of thing. So what difference does it make? You know, the worst part is, you know, if it's somebody like O'Biden and all of them people, they want to take away, they want to make having vitamins prescription. I've heard it's one of the 300 amendments to his budget. Well, they tried that before, but that crazy guy in California, Henry Waxman, he tried that, and there was so much outcry that he didn't even vote for his own bill. Nobody voted for that. It would make a bottle of zinc $5 cost $55.
We still have callers, so we're going to have to go back to the phone. Pat, I appreciate your call.
All right.
And
think about it.
So in the interest of time, yes, thanks, Pat. Much appreciated. Yeah, food for thought. Mandating a product, having Congress mandate a product is a coup. You know, you cannot legislate morality. You cannot legislate it effectively. And again, you know, I would just simply say Romans chapter 7 talks about how, you know, the law is antagonistic to the flesh. Legislating morality never works. It has the opposite effect, essentially. So back to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. And
good morning, Fred.
Good afternoon, Glenn and Philly. My energy level's down, so I'm not going to take long. I missed your Monday show, but I picked it up in the archive. But for Glenn, the beast that seemed to get the wound unto death, I'll explain all that later on in another show. But my talk for today is in the title, Am I My Brother's Keeper? And the author is Walter Weiss. Description. It is easy to love truth. It is easy to love Christ and be enthralled by the plan of salvation. But this is an exact lesson we learn in Scripture. In this Scripture, we see how Christ even goes a step further, calling us to be our brother's keeper. Only by learning this lesson with sincere hearts can we be fitted for heaven. Okay, and now, you cover a lot of ground every day, and you did for the first hour and a half. But our job, first of all, well, is get to know God, and that's with unceasing prayer, not morning and not night, but all the time. I'm a little wound up here. The problem that I have, and I have a big problem, and it's hard to overcome, and that's anger. And with anger in your heart, you can't have love for your neighbor or brotherly love. Now, you can hate the sin, but not the person. And the person is probably under the influence of the dragon, which is Satan or Lucifer. through ignorance, but when they have knowledge of that, then that is a pretty tough sin. But that's my problem, is anger. And I've got to pray and get to know God and listen to His Holy Spirit to guide me and train me and teach me how to love a person, even if they are down on me or whatever. And that's a tough one. That's hard for everybody. Okay, that's all I'm going to yap on about today. Well, I don't consider myself just yapping on, but that's all I've got to say today. Thank you, Chris, and have a good day, Glenn, and we'll be talking later on. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fred. Much appreciated, as always. So, you know, one of the other things I thought about sharing, I've talked about My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers, from time to time. I thought that yesterday was interesting, and September 11 is particularly interesting. I need to get back to the contents of Spears, Piper's of Babylon, and also Hayek's Road to Serfdom. It's interesting stuff in the context of these days, but September 11, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. I wonder if there's time. So, Missionary Munitions. This sort of echoes the Bonhoeffer sentiment. Ministering as opportunity surrounds us. This does not mean selecting our surroundings. It means being very selectly God's in any haphazard surroundings which He engineers for us. The characteristics we manifest in our immediate surroundings are indications of what we will be like in other surroundings. The things that Jesus did were of the most menial and commonplace order. And this is an indication that it takes all God's power in me to do the most commonplace things in His way. Can I use a towel as He did? Towels and dishes and sandals, all the ordinary sordid things of our lives, reveal more quickly than anything what we are made of. It takes God Almighty incarnate in us to do the meanest duty as it ought to be done. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Watch the kind of people God brings around you, and you will be humiliated to find that this is His way of revealing to you the kind of person you have been to Him. Now He says, exhibit to that one exactly what I have shown to you. Oh, you say, I will do all that when I get out into the foreign field. To talk in this way is like trying to produce the munitions of war in the trenches. You will be killed while you are doing it. We have to go the second mile with God. Some of us get played out in the first 10 yards because God compels us to go where we cannot see the way. And we say, I will wait till I get nearer to the big crisis. If we do not do the running steadily in the little ways, we shall do nothing in the crisis. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.